Obama in your palm, hurrah, cha 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 cha.
Dude, why are you dancing around the sink?
I got the coolest thing today. Obama in your palm.
What in my where what?
Obama in your palm. It's the latest sudsy creation from Bubble Genius. It's a scaled down version of their Hope on a Rope President Obama caricature soap. This one is hand soap size, so it fits perfectly in the palm of your hand. Obama in your palma.
That is awesome. I'm going to have to get some of those.
Yeah. And there's other political stuff, like Secretary of Suds, the Hillary Clinton soap on a rope. Oh, and look, a soap that says vote, and it smells like apple pie.
A soap that reminds you to vote. What's cooler than that?
Well, the fact that Bubble Genius makes all of its products in the U.S., and they donate a third of their profits on this political stuff to progressive causes and campaigns. So you look good, you smell good, and you do good.
Wow, those Bubble Geniuses sure are geniusy.
BubbleGenius.com. We're Bubble Genius, and we approve this message.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
In 08, my brother was on the front lines, but now he says he just cannot find the time.
This election's about our whole future. It's like you don't even care, man.
What?
You believe in civil rights. Well, Mitt Romney's no fan. He's okay with voter suppression. Wants gay marriage banned. He stood against the DREAM Act, and he isn't worried about the poor. If we don't do something right now, this is who we're asking for.
I hate to break it to you, sis, but all politicians are the same.
They're all the same? Big brother, please. Obama sent SEALs to bin Laden's place. Romney sent jobs overseas. And how about that student loan overhaul? It's gonna save you thousands of bucks. Mitt will cut that shit in a second. My dude, wake the f*** up.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
You can read about it tomorrow, or possibly see it tonight. But with radio, you get it now and get it right.
Here we go!
Gentlemen, something new from Focus 3?
I believe this beverage has produced an emotional response.
Really?
What do you think? I am uncertain. Because I have had little experience with emotion, I am unable to articulate the sensation.
Emotion?
I'll explain later.
Ooh! Well, it looks like he hates it.
Yes, that is it.
I hate this!
Data, I think the chip is working.
Oh, yes! I hate this. It is revolting. More? Please.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, September 27th, 2012, and it's the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez.
Yeah.
How you doing, ma'am?
I'm all right. I mean, buried under work, but aside from that.
We are brought to you, as always, by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. Election is just 40 days away. And
plenty of time for Mitt Romney to completely, for the campaign to implode and reboot itself another, what, I want to say 12 more times?
Yeah, I've completely lost track of the number of reboots. We're currently on the warm and fuzzy, cuddly Mitt Romney. The Mitt Romney who doesn't mind admitting that Barack Obama, in fact, didn't raise any taxes in his first term. The Mitt Romney, who also doesn't mind admitting that he provided health insurance and health care for everyone in Massachusetts, including the children.
His empathy chip is brand new.
That's right.
It's a new functioning empathy chip.
In case you're not as geeky as we are, that was a clip of Data from one of the Star Trek movies. That was the one where he gets he gets emotions. They put that little microchip in his head, and he's able to discern whether or not a beverage is delicious. But that appears to be what's happened to Mitt Romney this week, or at least he pretends to be. You know, I kind of ranted about this a little bit in my column today, but I got to say something here at the outset. I've been seeing a few people on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, sort of just casual observers. So it's not that big a deal. But I've been seeing people who are going, oh, ouch. Wow. Romney is, he's such a disaster. I almost feel sorry for him. I feel so bad. He's really screwing this up. You know what? Shut up. Seriously.
He is certainly hapless.
That's right. That's true. But for God's sake, of anyone on this planet, Mitt Romney's the last one who deserves anyone's sympathy. Yeah. This guy is on top of the world. He's got wealth beyond belief, privilege. I mean, even if he loses this election in a landslide, which is becoming a distinct possibility, he'll go out and he'll collect hundreds of thousands of dollars per speaking engagement. That's just one of the perks of being a
former. Yeah, he's not a Louis Gohmert from some a bumbling idiot from some vermin infested state. He's Mitt Romney.
I got to mark that.
Sorry, right out of the bat, I'm swearing.
Yeah, what I do is I have to hit the M key for marker. And that leaves a marker every time Chez or... Actually, I cussed a couple times last week. So I had to bleep myself a couple times last week. But yeah, make sure we get all those bleeps for our terrestrial affiliate at WPWC, 1480 AM, We Act Radio in Washington, D.C. Which is not... I mean, it's always fun to curse, within walking distance of the FCC.
You can't see this, but I'm actually showing my boob right now.
does it have a little star pendant around it?
It's actually a rainbow.
You know, before we get into American politics, did you see? I mean, this has got to be the funniest meme of the day. Did you see Benjamin Netanyahu at the UN?
I did not. I can't stress enough how much I've been glued to this TV project I'm working on. So please inform me.
Unless we're talking about the DIY network, you're going to be completely useless.
Unless we're talking about something on DIY or HGTV, I'm pretty much. Yeah,
well, good.
I don't even know anything about it. Unless Bibi Netanyahu made some sort of comment about building a pergola out behind his house. Yeah, then I don't know anything about it.
No, it's much better than that. It's much better than that. What he did was he decided to use a visual aid in his address to the UN today.
So he's Carrot Top.
Yeah, he's Carrot Top. That's right.
He's a prop comic.
He's a prop comic. That's right. He had a toilet seat with a beard attached to it.
And then in the end, he took out a big sledgehammer and smashed a bunch of melons.
Well, he actually held up a white piece of construction paper. I don't know if it was construction paper or not. I just like to say it was construction paper. And it had a drawing of a bomb on it to illustrate the Iranian nuclear threat. Now, it wasn't a nuclear bomb that was on this drawing. It was
like a cannonball with a string coming out of it?
Yes. It was like an 18th century cartoony bomb.
Great. Apparently, Israel is in danger of being attacked by Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, it had Acme written on
Acme,
the side.
Right, yeah.
I mean, but the first thing that came to mind was... Super Mario 64 and those bombs.
Yes.
Those walking bombs, the Ba bombs.
Right.
And so that's why I played Mario at the top of the show. It's like right before Netanyahu went out to deliver his speech, he goes up to Mario and says,
"Here we go!"
When Netanyahu arrived at the UN, they told him, "We're sorry, the princess is in another castle."
Let's go!
And he said, you know what? You know what he did? He said, When Iran ever fires off a nuclear missile at Israel, it's going to sound like this. But it's so hysterical. It's like, let's illustrate a nuclear-capable Iran using, a cartoony bomb. Like something like the Hamburglar would have, you know. We're going to pay all of our foreign aid to Israel using one of those giant novelty checks from The Price is Right. From now on. Yeah. So that was funny. I thought that was funny today. Just that visual aid. We could totally take you seriously with your bomb drawing. And he had little lines drawn across it showing the different stages of, I guess, nuclear capability. But if all that Iran is working on is a Mario Bob-omb. Yeah, I mean, I think that's gonna that shows that we're in pretty good shape. We're not in threat of.
Yeah, that's not exactly. That's like a weapon of room destruction.
A weapon of room destruction.
Here we go.
All right, so you know, there's some good news on the economy. Now, I read some things regarding the poll. We're going to talk a lot about polls today.
Well, nothing's more fun than talking about polls.
Talking about polls and math. And it is going to be fun. It is going to be very fun because most of the polling is good news. And then there's lots of right-wing denial about the state of the current polling situation with the election. But some more good news by way of the economy that will only, I believe, help the president's chances at this point.
You're just believing the liberal media. That's your problem, Bob.
The liberal math. It was like Karl Rove math. 4 years ago. There's everyone else's math, and then there's his math, which is always scary to hear. And I'm going to get to something about that, something really kind of scary to think about. But it turns out, as of today, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics determined they increased their number of jobs added from March 2011 to March 2012. An additional 386,000 non-farm jobs were created in that 1 year cycle, which means that officially right now Barack Obama can boast a net job increase.
Here we go.
Right? So he can actually say he's added jobs. I mean, there's actually been net job growth under the president. Now, that's pretty significant. I mean, certainly, there are other economic indicators that are positive. But the fact that the president has actually shown net job creation, considering where we were 4 years ago, is pretty astonishing. And it's not only just net job creation. In the last 30 months, the economy has added over 5 million jobs. That's pretty big. Now, I was reading some things regarding...
but they're non-farm jobs.
They're non-farm jobs. Yeah, damn.
I just like that term. I'm going to use that. I'm going to find a way to use that. Like a non-farm job, please.
Yeah, when you go to the employment agency. Hey, yeah, I like a non-farm job. You put it at the top of the resume. I'll take anything you have.
Non-farm.
As long as it's non-farm. But so there's some repercussions already, positive ones, where evidently Ohio, where the president is now pulling away pretty close to a double-digit lead in Ohio, which you remember, you know, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, was this major, major swing state. This is the one that the Ohio and Florida tipped the balance one way or another. It was just right there on the edge until Barack Obama comes along. So Ohio, their unemployment rate is actually much lower than the national average.
Yes, so, I did hear that.
So Ohio is doing phenomenally well, which means the good news, obviously, for the president's polling numbers there. So so I think what we're beginning to see is some across the board. There was always that unemployment situation. There was always a job problem. That was the one sticking point on all of these economic indicators, preventing any sort of boasting to say, yeah, this guy's turned the economy around. But it looks like we might be able to add that one, too. Now, I mean, 5 million jobs created. That's pretty significant, considering, again, where we were. Now, it certainly isn't anywhere near Bill Clinton's numbers, and those were gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how many millions of jobs were created throughout the 90s. But this is pretty big. So I think we're going to be hearing a lot about this over the next 40 days. And you know, what else is Romney able to say anymore? There isn't a whole lot. And it was fascinating to see him constantly changing his approach. Now, right now, we're in this phase where someone's clearly told him, Mr. Romney, you got to maybe soften up, be more of the Massachusetts Romney, be more of the Governor Romney. And so now he's doing that. But then he's going to piss off the far right. And then when he starts to swing right, everyone else goes, what are you doing? He's getting radical and crazy. And so he swings back the other way. This is stuff that he should have worked out at the beginning of the campaign that he's only now working out with 40 days to go. And then he goes and tells NBC News he's got lots of time. It's still early. Got lots of time. Lots more costume changes. Lots more reboots to make.
Yeah, right. It's a Madonna show. I have always been of the belief, especially in close races, that it really does come down to sort of whoever, it's like musical chairs, you know, whoever happens to get to the chair when the music stops, whoever's numbers happen to be up. I mean, you know, especially when you're talking about a tight race, that's the way it works. But I mean, Romney's never been on top of Obama.
Yeah, no, he's not. I mean, there were some close days in there, maybe right around the Paul Ryan announcement where the polling was pretty tight. But it's never really been decisive. I mean, it was always like maybe they were tied. And then, you had Gallup and Rasmussen for the last couple of weeks in that tide, maybe with the president with a 1 or 2 point lead here or there. But now Gallup has pulled away, leaving only Rasmussen as that lone life preserver for all of the conservatives in denial about the polls.
What's that other poll? What's that insane conservative poll?
Rasmussen.
No, not that one. The one that isn't even real. The one that they're I read something about it that they're running for relief.
Oh. Yeah, unskewed polls.
Thank you.
.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Unskewed polls. Yeah,
which basically assumes that too many Democrats and too many liberals and progressives are being polled, and so therefore it compensates by pulling a number out of its ass.
Yeah. Basically, it eliminates any sort of disparity between the sampling groups. So it basically draws it even Steven, which means, and of course, the electorate is not even Steven. It's not like an even number of Republicans and an even number of Democrats, the equal number of each, go out and vote on election day. Based on prior trends, the pollsters determine, how many Democrats as a proportion of the electric vote, the electorate vote, and how many Republicans as a proportion vote. And so then they sample that way. Rasmussen evidently samples everybody. And we're going to get into a little bit of this this polling situation here in a few minutes. And specifically all the denialism that's going on. And that one, God, that is like the hub. They've actually created polls to suit the desperate attempts of the Republicans to cling on to some sort of enthusiasm. We're going to get into that in just a few seconds right after a break. Back after this. Yeah, it's kind of hilarious to look at all this stuff, and it's hilarious and scary. Now, I do want to get into the scary thing in just a few minutes, but there are a number of people who are just don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear that the president is pulling away by such wide margins, and it's. Yes. And it's not just, it's not overly wide. I mean, he doesn't have that big double-digit lead yet. But it's getting close. I mean, it's trending in that direction. Think Progress put together a list of several conservatives who think the media is fixing the polls for the president. Eric Erickson, of course, editor-in-chief of RedState.com, CNN political contributor.
And raging tool.
That's right. He accuses the media of, quote, confirmation bias that makes them confirm their data to what they want. Quote, the polls are confirming what the press thinks, and that they have a larger than 2008 Democratic turnout is of no consequence to them. John McLaughlin, not the McLaughlin Group John McLaughlin, but the Republican pollster John McLaughlin, explains the poll conspiracy. Quote, Democrats want to convince these anti-Obama voters falsely that Romney will lose to discourage them from voting. So they lobby the pollsters to weight their surveys to emulate the 2008 Democrat-heavy models. This would be Democratic-heavy models. They are lobbying them now to affect early voting. IVR, interactive voice response polls, are heavily weighted. You can wait to whatever result you want. So basically, they're screwing with the numbers. They're just screwing with the sampling of how many Democrats they sample.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Hewitt, who's been wrong about everything. Radio host Hugh Hewitt thinks the CBS Quinnipiac New York Times poll is, quote, junk, choosing instead to focus on Rasmussen, of course, and Gallup's daily polls. Too late, by the way, Hugh Hewitt, because Gallup, I think the president's up to 51%. I think it's 51-44, national Gallup daily tracking poll. Sorry, Hugh. Dick Morris, who is bitter and angry and wrong about everything, too.
Wrong about every single thing ever.
Insists that if the election were held today, Romney would win by 4 or 5 points, carrying Florida.
He's even wrong about his sexuality, by the way, because there's no way he's not gay.
There is no
freaking way Dick Morris is not gay.
We have no way of knowing that, do we? Do we?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's right. This will be broadcast in D.C., so there's no, of course, I'm not saying that he's gay. I don't freaking know.
There's no way of knowing.
Here we go!
Mario doesn't know either.
Right, that's the sign of us being kicked off the air.
Netanyahu has no idea. Oh, come on, Morris later declares. The polling this year is the worst it's ever been. That's Fox News contributor Dick Morris. We're going to come back to that in a second. Congressman Connie Mack, Republican Florida. Mack's Senate campaign manager dismissed polls, finding him behind in the Florida race, saying, quote, he's running against one of the Nelson brothers. Quote, they're not brothers. It's Bill Nelson in Florida. A variety of polls commissioned by the media have attempted to paint the Florida state Senate race in a light that is simply not accurate. And Brett Baer, the Monchichi from Fox News.
The Monchichi.
Good one. I swear to God. Brett Baer is absolutely a Monchichi. He's a Monchichi. Seriously.
Brett Baer. You're showing your age.
Yeah, I know. Monchichi, Monchichi.
I hate you. Do not say, not one more note.
Happy smiling Monchichi. Brett Baer hosts a segment warning how the fine print polls could skew data because of oversampling, which Business Insider attributes to higher voter registration among Democrats. Guess what? Here's the latest polling. Okay? This is what they're so upset about. Obama tops Romney by 7 percentage points among likely voters in both Ohio and Virginia. In Ohio, it's 49-42%. That's huge. In Virginia, it's 50-43. In Florida, the president holds a 5-point edge, 49-44. This was Tuesday, and I think it's widened since then. Mm. This is the Fox News poll. This is the Fox News Channel poll that shows the president ahead by 7 points in Ohio, 7 points in Virginia, and 5 points in Florida.
Hmm.
So, these guys got to check their own data.
Yes.
So there's all this denialism going on, and Fox News evidently right in line with everybody else. I think Fox News has the president at 51% approval rating right now, as of today. The Fox News daily tracking poll.
Right.
Why is Fox News Channel stacking this election in favor of the Democrats? Maybe it's good for ratings. Maybe that's why they're doing it. I wish Steve Ducey and Brian Kilmeade could explain it to us.
Look, I mean, Fox has done incredibly well being the opposition network. You know, those who thought that their power and influence was going to somehow wane once Obama got into office were clearly off base. I mean, if anything, it just got stronger because they became the outlet for, you know, the constant bitch fest that we've seen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think from a financial perspective, as much as they may, you know, politically, they may tout Romney and really want to see him elected and do all that crap, you know, really, shill for Romney. I think from a financial perspective, from a ratings perspective, another 4 years of Obama is the best thing that could happen to Fox.
Absolutely. Although, you know what? The Clinton years weren't all that bad for, you know, people like Fox and people like Rush Limbaugh. I say people like Fox because I'm referring specifically to Roger Ailes. To me, there's a fallacy out there where you want to say, yeah, you know what? It'll be really good for our business if so-and-so is president. It'll be really good for the commentariat You know, if so-and-so is president, if you're a liberal, if a Republican's president, you got lots to talk about, or and vice versa. But that's actually not true. You know, I think if you look at the trends and the ratings and the traffic to liberal blogs and liberal organizations, they've done quite well during the Obama years. You know, there's certainly a very big, juicy target when there's a Republican president like George W. Bush. But at the same time, there's still lots of other targets. So I don't really like hearing that sometimes,
you know this Obama, is going to be good. Obama's been good for business for just about everybody at the end of the political spectrum.
Yeah.
He's been great for the right, and he's been gangbusters for the left.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, the Fire Dog Lakers and the Glenn Greenwalds and, you know, the filators of Julian Assange and so on and so forth.
The filators.
Filators. Is that a word? Filator? Yeah, I would think
It doesn't matter. As long as you've coined it. It's
I want a T-shirt that says "Euphilator."
But
I like just making up words. That's my new thing.
Yeah, there seems to be
part of my new career as a scat artist.
There's also a resurgence in that in the last couple of days. I don't know if you noticed. Connor Friedersdorf wrote a piece for The Atlantic, which he said he morally can't bring himself to vote for Barack Obama because of AFPAC, basically because of drones, because of the civil liberty stuff.
I don't care one bit about the drones. I just don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm concerned whenever there's civilians. We should all be,
of course,
be concerned about civilian casualties when it comes to warfare. And evidently, there's this report that says the drones actually just circle these Pakistani towns and villages. And it's just terrifying. You never know when they're going to end up popping one off and blowing up half your family. And that's horrible. That's horrible. But you know what else is horrible? Losing health care for 30 million Americans. Cutting Medicaid by over $800 billion when 31 million, half of all Medicaid recipients, are children. The other half are elderly, the parents of those children, and disabled people. And that's what Mitt Romney's going to do. What's really tragic, too? A Supreme Court that is conservative for another generation, which is also
and the drones will continue. By the way,
the drones will continue
above and beyond. That's above and beyond the prosecution, the wanton prosecution of the war on terror by any means necessary.
Yeah.
If you think that all those people are going to lose health care and women's rights are going to go down the toilet, but hey, at least the drone attacks were stopped. We'll stop. You're living in a dreamland.
Yeah. Really. Really. I mean, the alternative is this guy Gary Johnson. That's who they're
all of the Ron Paulites have gone over to Gary Johnson.
Well, and it's you're wasting your vote, and that's it. Every vote against the president, and it seems simplistic to say this, but it's absolutely true. Every vote for Gary Johnson is a vote against Barack Obama. Fact. It just reeks of 2000 all over again. Ralph Nader. And it's going to be a disaster. Mitt Romney is elected. It is going to be a disaster for women. It's going to be a disaster for minorities. It's going to be a disaster for the middle class. On down the line, anyone who doesn't have health care, it's going to be a disaster. I was going to get into this in a second. We got a break for Bubble Genius. Come back, and I want to talk more about this right after this. Hey, the show is brought to you each and every week by BubbleGenius.com. And you really ought to be buying their soap and bath and body products. It's really the best stuff I've ever purchased. You can feel the quality of it when you just have to hold it in your hand. I mean, you can buy Bob's favorite hibiscus soap. That's what it's called. You buy the hibiscus soap. And when you wash your hands with the soap that's shaped like a hibiscus flower, it actually massages your hands as you're washing with it. Unbelievable. It's made with all vegan products. It's locally sourced, so there's not a lot of environmental waste going on. It's a company run by women. It's a company run by liberal women. And you really ought to be supporting that kind of business. Here now is the latest word from BubbleGenius.com.
Obama in your palma. Hurrah, cha, 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 cha.
Dude, why are you dancing around the sink?
I got the coolest thing today. Obama in your palma.
What, in my where what?
Obama in your palma. It's the latest sudsy creation from Bubble Genius. It's a scaled-down version of their Hope on a Rope President Obama caricature soap. This one is hand soap size, so it fits perfectly in the palm of your hand. Obama in your palma.
That is awesome. I'm going to have to get some of those.
Yeah. And there's other political stuff, like Secretary of Suds, the Hillary Clinton soap on a rope. Oh, and look, a soap that says vote, and it smells like apple pie.
A soap that reminds you to vote. What's cooler than that?
Well, the fact that Bubble Genius makes all of its products in the U.S., and they donate a third of their profits on this political stuff to progressive causes and campaigns. So you look good, you smell good, and you do good.
Wow, those Bubble Geniuses sure are geniusy.
BubbleGenius.com. We're Bubble Genius, and we approve this message.
Here we go!
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Yeah. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Hey, here's an extra bonus for everyone who listens to this here program. Enter Bob and Chez at checkout, BOBANDCHEZ, and get 15% off all of your soap and bath and body products from BubbleGenius.com. You know, I was talking about this with Joy the other day, and it really kind of hit home. I mean, the personal stakes for me in this election. I'm 41 and a half, something like that. I'm getting in that range where, you know what, where people start to get cancer. You know,
thank you for saying that.
So, I mean, it's grim, but it's true. It's true.
That makes me feel much better considering my lifestyle.
Well,
considering the amount of sweet and low I eat.
On top, oh God, you shouldn't eat that. Holy crap. You're
going to
talk about fibromyalgia, brain tumors.
I have a formula. It's 2 equal and 1 sweet and low.
Just to have regular sugar, dude.
I hate sugar.
Regular sugar. Sugar in the raw is actually really good. But you know, I was thinking I'm uninsured. I do not have any health insurance. Now, I've talked about this on the show. This is not news to anyone who's listened to the show for any length of time. But I am currently uninsured. I'm waiting for the Affordable Care Act to kick in. But in the meantime,
you have ERs.
If I suddenly was diagnosed with cancer or some other disease, some other very difficult disease, a life-threatening kind of disease, and Mitt Romney were to come along and repeal Obamacare, I would be utterly screwed. I would not be able to afford health insurance. I wouldn't get health insurance because I'd have numerous pre-existing conditions at that point, which I have now. I have a couple of pre-existing conditions. And it, you know, broken back and all of that crap, you know.
Broken back?
Well, I fractured a vertebrae in a bike accident. I was hit by a car.
That's why I don't ride bikes. Those are dangerous things.
Happens once in a while. Get hit by a car. You were just in a car accident, for God's sake.
This is true.
So, look.
I got my car back, by the way. They did a great job.
That's great. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that Mitt Romney's election, if Mitt Romney wins, that's it. If I were to get sick or injured in some way. Because he's repealing
your fault
all this
for not taking responsibility for your life.
I mean, what people just do not understand is, there's that individual mandate, and it's mandate. Rah! I hate you, mandate. Health insurance company giveaways and blah blah blah. The fact of the matter is that this bill has far more good in it than bad. The fact that you'll be able to get health care even though you have a pre-existing condition, or if you can't wait till 2014, you get under the high risk pool. Get health insurance right now. Affordable, government-regulated health care. Right now. This is what we're dealing with. If you're poor and you're below 133% of the federal poverty level, provided you're not in a doofus red state that hasn't started to participate with the increased Medicaid benefits in the Affordable Care Act, provided you're not in one of those states, like Texas, you can get affordable health insurance. I mean, before the Affordable Care Act, if you were above 100% of the federal poverty level, you couldn't get it. Now you can. Now you can. Once the bill kicks in, you know, and you're above even that number, you'll be able to get affordable health care up to 400% of the federal poverty level because you'll get subsidies. Family of four making $50,000, they'll get a $10,000 break on their annual premiums. No more lifetime limits. No more co-pays or co-insurance or deductibles on preventative care. This is all stuff that happens, and it's going to go away if Mitt Romney's elected. Now, he was talking about this week, he was talking about how he passed, for a very brief moment, actually talked about his record on health care in Massachusetts. Said he provided all kinds of health insurance for children. And that's the greatest example of empathy in the world. He literally said that. His passage,
especially since he was using it to make to score political points. I mean, not not Romney Care itself, but his boasting about it, essentially.
I mean, it was hilarious. It's the biggest example of empathy that you could possibly have, is what he was saying. You know. But there's no path. There's no path whatsoever. Say he decides once he's inaugurated to say, you know what, I'm going to repeal Obamacare and then I'm going to replace it with what I did in Massachusetts. Well, basically, he's going to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something that's almost exactly the same. Well, there's no path whatsoever in terms of how he's going to get Republicans to vote for something like that. There's no strategy. There's no plan. We're completely unaware of what he's going to do to replace Obamacare. What's the replacement strategy, Mr. Romney? There isn't one. He's just going to repeal it, and they're going to go on with their business. You think Mitt Romney's going to spend, you know, provided he's not even going to get anywhere near a mandate, spend the next 4 years worrying about health care? Not a chance in hell. Next 4 years would be preoccupied with invading Iran. That's what the next 4 years is going to be
stopping,
all about.
Stopping the Acme bomb.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stopping the bomb-ombs with Super Mario.
Here we go!
Right? So that's the thing. That's the thing. That's what I was just thinking about with healthcare. Something happens and Obamacare goes away, I am personally screwed. And I'm not the only one. There's 30 million of us who are uninsured and would be screwed by Mitt Romney. Screwed personally. Not something half a world away in Pakistan. Me personally. My family, personally. Hey, we got to take one last quick break. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
It's like the worst song to play coming out of a healthcare discussion, right?
The Hooters?
I mean, it's like, what if I get cancer? What if I die? What if something horrible happens and Mitt Romney is elected president and he takes away my health care? Here are the Hooters, everybody!
Then we'd dance.
And we danced like a wave on the ocean romance.
From the Whatever Happened to file, the Hooters.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's actually, they're a one-hit wonder that was not bad as a band. They had a couple of good songs in there. To this day, I still like All You Zombies. It's one of my all-time favorite songs.
I don't like All You Zombies. I like that Johnny B song. I remember when I was in high school, I liked that.
Yeah. Well, they did, and then they did, their first hit was And We Dance, and then they followed that up with And We Dance 2, this song, right? It's like...
Oh, God. They really are the Soup Dragons of the 80s. That's right. Or not Soup Dragons. What the hell was the name of that band? That awful band that I hated so much.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Spin Doctors. Thank you.
Spin Doctors.
Dragons of Spin Doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You just go screw yourself.
Hey, it's the Spin Doctors. Pocket full of kryptonite is the album. Little Miss Can't Be Wrong is the name of the song. Hey, don't get cancer and die with Mitt Romney as president, right? Enough of that. So I've been talking about, you want to talk about scary. There was a piece. Now, consider the source a little bit, but then also consider who we're talking about when I discuss the following item. There's a piece in Truth Out this week.
In what?
On Truth Out.
Okay.
And it's basically supposing that all of this denialism and all of this freak out about the polls is cover for all of the voter suppression that's going on. For the voter ID, the impact of the voter ID, the disenfranchisement, the voter purges that are occurring. And so to say that, you know, that all these polls are wrong and Mitt Romney's actually going to win this thing is kind of giving a little bit of leeway to the fact that, yeah, he's going to win this thing because they've cheated. They've actually disenfranchised millions of people. And so it's when it comes down to Election Day and Mitt Romney ends up winning, they're going to say, well, see, the polls were wrong. It's not going to be, oh, see, it was the voter ID laws disenfranchising people. It was a voter purge in Florida and Ohio.
Right, because the immediate reaction of most people would, you know, would be that that the polls were – that all these polls were wrong and not that somebody screwed up and somebody stole the election.
Well, look at 2004. Remember 2004 during the during Election Day? Now, mind you, George W. Bush was ahead in the polls going into Election Day. But throughout the course of the day, there were exit polls that were popping up showing basically what amounted to like a John Kerry landslide. Like John Kerry was way ahead in a bunch of the exit polls. So we're all pumped up and we're going, holy crap, John Kerry's going to win this thing. No more George W. Bush. And then the returns, the actual returns started coming in. And it was soul crushing. So, I mean, who knows what with that? Of course, everyone was going, all the exit polls must have been wrong. Every single one of them. Just goes
to
show what happens.
I think this is a little, I'm getting the impression anyway. And I agree with you completely that you know, not relenting is a good idea. You know, you got to spike the football on this one. You know, you got to really don't write it off. Kick him when he's down. You know, keep the pressure on. Keep, you know, doing the get out the vote drives, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, don't just slack off. But I do think that in this situation, it looks to me from all the polling that I've seen and the polling that's been pretty consistent for a long time, meaning Obama's never dipped below Romney, that even with some voter suppression, I don't get the impression that Romney's in a position right now, judging by what all the polls say, to beat Obama. We could be wrong, you know, absolutely. But
well,
it doesn't look that way.
I'll be the first to admit that it's a little paranoid to think this way because there's not really any verification that this is the case. They just, you know, the chances are Occam's razor, you know, these guys are just looking at the polls and they're freaking out and they're scared. And so that's why they're claiming liberal conspiracy and the weighting of the polls. But, I mean, here's what Truth Out wrote. 9 Republican governors have the power to put Mitt Romney in the White House, even if Barack Obama wins the popular vote. With their secretaries of state, they control the electronic vote count in 9 key swing states: Florida, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Iowa, Arizona, and New Mexico. By the way, Arizona, it's turning into a swing state. I don't know if you've seen the latest electoral vote maps, but Arizona is getting progressively more pinkish hued. Wisconsin elections are under the control of the state's government accountability board, appointed by the governor. And we know who Wisconsin's governor is. In tandem with the GOP's massive nationwide disenfranchisement campaign, they could, in the dead of election night, flip their state's electronic votes to Romney and give him a victory in the Electoral College. Thankfully, resistance has arisen to the disenfranchisement strategy, which seems designed to deny millions of suspected Democrats the right to vote. The intent to demand photo ID for voting could result in some 10 million Americans. Now, I've seen the number 5 million, not 10 million. But still, 5 million is still a lot. But Truth Out says 10 million Americans being disenfranchised, according to the Brennan Center at New York University. Other methods are being used to strip voter rolls, as in Ohio, where 1.1 million citizens have been purged from registration lists since 2009. This, quote, new Jim Crow personified by groups like Truth the Vote, New York Times article, could deny the ballot to a substantial percentage of the electorate in key swing states. This massive disenfranchisement has evoked a strong reaction from voting rights activists. A number of lawsuits, major internet traffic, and front page and editorial coverage in the New York Times. Now, in addition to that, there was just a piece that was posted today on the NBC News website. Headline, latest voting concern. Ohio voter rolls reduced by nearly 500,000 since 2008. A controversial voter ID law in Pennsylvania. A flawed bid to remove non-citizens from the voting rolls in Florida. The elimination of the last 3 days of early voting in Ohio. As if all that wasn't enough to worry about, voting rights advocates say they're concerned about yet another development that could disenfranchise legitimate voters, one which has largely flown under the radar despite its potential to affect the presidential race. A reduction of nearly 500,000 in the number of Ohio's registered voters since 2008, seemingly concentrated in populist, Democratic-leaning areas. Shocking. Amid an aggressive effort by the state's Republican leadership to pare the rolls. We're talking about John Husted. We're talking about John Kasich, the governor. The Advancement Project, a leading voting rights group, has filed a public records request with Ohio's counties to look into whether the process used to remove names from the rolls was legal. The group's co-director, Penda Hare, told Lean Forward. We're definitely concerned, she said. So, in the meantime, in Florida, Rick Scott has continued his voter purge. In defiance of the Justice Department. This is what we really have to focus on. This is what I've been saying all along. When we look at these polls, what they really need to ask is not whether you're likely to vote or whether you're a registered voter. That what they really need to ask is, are you likely to vote and are you going to bring your photo ID? Hmm. Or are you aware of the photo ID?
I don't think you have to be. After everything that we have witnessed and everything that we know about the party, I don't think you have to be a paranoiac to make the assumption that, you know, not any one individual conspiracy is afoot, but that the Republicans really have proven time and time again that they are doing this for power's sake and they will do anything to win.
Yeah. I mean, I picked up this this piece from Truth Out via John Cole at Balloon Juice. And, you know, he writes at the end, yeah, I know a bunch of you will attack me for linking Truth Out and BuzzFlash and call me a conspiracy theorist. Does it really sound so crazy that a party that has spent 4 years disenfranchising voters in swing states? This is fact. This is fact. They are disenfranchising voters. They are passing voter ID laws that make it more difficult for Democrats to vote. Not Democrats and Republicans. Democrats. This is all fact. This is not conspiracy. They're doing
because it. In their mind, Republicans are real Americans, and real Americans can prove it.
John Cole continues. They're working to change voting rolls and basically openly trying to fix elections, all with a nascent uprising of Tea Partiers funded by ultra-rich corporate sponsors would maybe have an AstroTurf campaign to invalidate polling in order to steal an election. 15 years ago, I would have laughed at this assertion. Then I saw Bush v. Gore. Then I saw aluminum tubes convince me and others to invade some random country. Then Terry Schiavo. Then Citizens United. So F off, anyone who wants to call me a paranoid crank. So that's pretty scary. But, I mean, let's say all things are equal. Let's just put that, put the paranoia aside, put the conspiracy theories aside. You know, I went over to this is the time of every 4 years when people start looking at that website, electoralvote.com, electoral-vote.com, electoral-vote.com. And they were the first with sort of the daily tracking electoral vote map where you could look at it every day, and then they would fill in the states with the red or blue based on how the polling went in those states. And so, you know, I've started looking at that place every day. But what one thing that's kind of cool that you can do is you can go back and you can see what the polling results and the electoral map looked like 4 years ago. And so I look back to 4 years ago, this day, September 27th, 2008. It was Barack Obama versus John McCain. at this point in the election. Now, remember that Barack Obama blew out this election. I mean, it was not even a contest. I mean, he won in a bunch of states. I'm going to get to that in a second. But here was the electoral map as of September 27, 2008. Obama, 286 electoral votes. McCain, 252 electoral votes. Of course, it's 270. Yeah, 270 to win, but still damn close. John McCain was leading in Nevada. John McCain was leading in Florida. John McCain was leading in North Carolina, Ohio, Indiana. Virginia was barely Obama. Barack Obama was ahead by 1% in Virginia, according to electoralvote.com. New Hampshire, Barack Obama was ahead by 1%. Pennsylvania, only ahead by 5%. But a couple of days earlier, it was much tighter race in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, nevertheless, you had states that were in McCain's column as of September 27, 2008, that Barack Obama ended up winning. Again, Nevada, Indiana, Ohio, North Carolina, Florida. With Virginia sort of on the cusp. By the way, McCain was maybe a few points behind in Minnesota, too. But right now, as of this day, the president is winning in all of the states that he won in 2008. He's leading in all those states, minus North Carolina and Indiana. And Arizona, this is what's remarkable, Chez. I was mentioning this before. Arizona is really, really tight. I mean, the president's only 3 points down in Arizona. Crazy, crazy Arizona.
Hmm.
He's only, he's 6 points down in South Carolina. Crazy South Carolina. I mean, it's weird. I mean, Tennessee has also been light pink on some of the maps, the Talking Points memo map, too. We're Tennessee. I don't know if he's going to, I don't think he's going to win Indiana. But if this becomes an ongoing trend and the president continues to pick up steam nationally, that can mean more and more votes. And these red states, where they don't even do polling because it's just assumed that Romney's going to win it, it could be much, much tighter than we could possibly ever imagine. So it could end up being all things equal and no real big impact from disenfranchisement, it could be a pretty big day 40 days from right now. So
that would be nice.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But Nate Silver, who's the other go-to pollster that you want to keep an eye on, ended his column today by saying, Nate Silver actually ended his column today by using the word landslide. Not that it's going to happen.
Right.
There's a small chance that it could happen if the trends continue in the direction of president. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. You know what I didn't get to play? I wanted to play Mitt Romney trying to lead that crowd in a chant.
That was so good. Scarborough's reaction to it was priceless.
It really, really was. And then also Romney retracting a lie and then repeating a lie. We're gonna bleed some of this over into the after party. So we usually record the after party right after this show, so we'll get to all of that stuff. It'll be up live at noon Eastern on Friday, tomorrow. And so you can catch the rest of our political discussion there. We just fresh out of time. Of course, we ended up wasting a bunch of time talking up Hooters records, but
it's our fault.
What can I say?
At least somebody is.
So coming up on the after party, among other things, as promised, movies that we love that everyone else hates. So we're kind of turning the tables. We did movies that we hate that everyone else loves a few weeks ago. Now we're doing it differently. Movies that we love that everyone else hates. We talked about that last week, and we're going to actually roll that out this week. Plus, a little bit on the Emmys. I'm going to reveal my new favorite adult beverage, my new favorite alcoholic beverage.
Oh, wow. Well, for that, you got to pay $6.
We're going to talk about... the secrets of the world champion masturbator. So we'll get all of your insights, Chez. Yeah.
Exactly. All my insights. I'll just get into you myself.
And lots of good sound, including some sound of Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is always one of our favorites. Hey, take care. See you on the after party, everybody.